Here we are in the Congressional Corner with my pal, my friend, the guy I much admire, Paul Tonko. Paul, we are lucky to have you among us, and I so appreciate your willingness to come on and talk to us. So I want to ask you a question.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Paul. In Texas, there was just a congressional election. The Democrats lost it. It's bringing the Democratic Party very, very close to the line when it comes to keeping control of the United States Congress. Now, we have a very popular president of the United States, much more popular than Trump ever thought about being. He's doing extremely well. And yet, because of gerrymandering and partisan divisions, the Democrats are losing elections. And we know in by-elections they often lose when they're in the president's party. So what do you make of all that?
Well, there's no doubt pressure on the House majority to, as it looks forward to the next round of elections, which will be a year from this November. It is a challenge because it's a slim margin, but I would suggest that, history oftentimes can be rerouted and not be repeated necessarily. While off-year elections seem to favor the party that's not in the White House, I think in this case we went with such extremes. There's such a contrast now, right now, of what used to be and what's being done. And I think that it's fair to say that the American public enjoys, progress. They enjoy tackling the issues. I think there's a pioneer spirit in our DNA. And I think that may be the telling difference when we go forward next November. I am hopeful that if we're productive, as we were with the American Rescue Plan, if we do the same with the American Jobs Plan, if we do the same with the American Families Plan, and we continue to manage well and get the workers into sound-paying jobs, which is the ultimate goal here. It's beating back the forces of climate change, dealing with Mother Nature. It's providing for health care for everyone. But if in so doing, we're creating jobs. And as we create those jobs, meaningful jobs, and the president mentions it over and over, he mentions union jobs. He mentions sound benefits. He mentions, building the pension funds back. These are important things. And I think that the public will acknowledge that. They will have had time enough to measure the difference between the Trump years and now the Biden years.
Yeah, but you know what really burns me? And that is that some state legislatures have organized congressional districts in such a way where they can't lose. And that kind of gerrymandering and the kind of nonsense that some Republican legislatures are pulling in order to load the vote so that people really can't vote, it seems so undemocratic and so dispiriting to me. Am I wrong to feel this way?
No, you're not wrong to feel this way. And that is the one frightening statistic, that and the suppression of voting. Outright embarrassing things that are being done in some of the states, and they're doing it shamelessly. And, we will have to call them on it. I think we'll have to let the general public know that if they don't turn around some of these provisions, hopefully there will be a recourse, a payment extracted from them for their insensitivity toward others. But it is the tough dynamic in this whole interpretation of where the next elections will go for Congress. I believe a track record will be on our side, but their efforts to suffocate votes and to orchestrate these safe seats that get people that are extreme in their positioning reelected because they've clustered the district with that kind of thinking is a troublesome notion.
To say nothing of the Supreme Court. It's 6-3 now, and you know where they're going to be when some of these difficult issues come up about elections. That's got me down. I don't know about you.
Yeah. No, it's right now I think you have to put your hope and faith and trust in the American public, understanding what's really going on. And I think we have to be very direct in our criticism, in our critiquing, and in our information gathering and messaging that really calls it what it is. It's every effort made to deny certain elements of our electorate to vote and to cluster people in a way that will weaken the diversity in our society and not incorporate it. And these efforts are, you know, they're cowardly. We need to point them out, and they're un-American in a sense because it's trying to orchestrate the election. You know, it's why we should motivate the public out there to stand by H.R. 1, which obviously would be a great way for us to offer reforms for the Voting Rights for the People Act. And, you know, I think that is called for. You know, I don't think this nation has confronted a full-scale assault on the right to vote as great as this since going back to the days of Jim Crow. And yep. It's imperative that my colleagues in the Senate urgently pass the For the People Act, which we already did in the House.
I'm with you, Paul. Are you satisfied, by the way, with Biden's plan to pay for the infrastructure bill by raising taxes on the wealthy? In other words, soak the rich.
Well, you know, he defined that as anyone under $400,000. And, you know, when I look at the price tag, people say, well, $1.9 trillion. I said, but we're helping the masses, the great number of us that would benefit those in the middle income community, those looking to ascend the middle class, and up to $400,000. Contrast that $1.9 trillion with that same price tag on the tax cut bill that was offered in 2016. And what do we have? We have 1% of the population getting benefited. So I think, you know, this is about fairness again. This is about bringing, you know, what's just and fair to the American public. And the middle class has been asked to pay over and over again. And I think that, again, this president is making the message straight on. He's pinpointed that message in a laser-sharp, focused way and saying, this is about you, as he said, you at home. You're the crowd that I am trying to assist here with growing jobs, growing infrastructure, which meets our everyday demands, and puts together a payment that is fair because you have been you have been paying for the cost of government in a disproportionate way.
So let me ask you, we're coming close to the end of the session here, but the filibuster, much debate, you know, if we in order to get the Biden program through, you have to end the filibuster. But if you end the filibuster and they take over the Senate and the Republicans take over the Senate, you really cut your throats. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, I do think there's a call for reform with the filibuster. No matter what party's in the majority, it's my opinion that the American people want and need a Congress that can pass common sense legislation that solves real current problems. This goes to the heart of our democratic republic, building a government that represents the votes and the will of the people. And when you ask most people what majority is, it's one more than one half, not 60 votes out of 100, 60%. And these changes have gradually turned the Senate from what was once dubbed, you know, the world's greatest deliberative body to what is today, I think, a hyper-partisan legislative graveyard. And as a result, America's democratic institutions and faith in our republic both fall, and the American people pay the price. I mean, you think of 90% of Americans support universal background checks on gun sales, gun safety legislation that they believe in. The Manchin-Toomey bipartisan gun violence prevention package failed in the Senate despite the support of 54 members. How is that fair in our democracy? Voting rights and good government reform denied. Climate change and environmental protections denied. Immigration reform with the DREAM Act. That would have passed in 2010 when the vote failed by 55 votes to 41. So I think there's a call for reform here with the filibuster, and the time is more than past that it's appropriate.
Paul Tonko, I can't tell you how nice it is to have you with us. I must say, you know, I make notes before I interview you, and I have a dozen more topics that I'd like to talk to you about, but we've run out of time. So when you come back the next time, we'll get to some of those. Again, Paul, thank you for doing this.
My pleasure, and we will be back.